this morning on Memorial Day. I want to say hello to everybody watching online again. And if you're in the North County, God bless you. Let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bibles today. Say word.
Word.
Very good. Let's see your pens. And lesson plan. Let's turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 4. The book of Acts, chapter 4. And as you turn there, I am going to read to you a few stats about members of the military. It's going to be appropriate to our message today. Acts chapter 4, fifth book of the New Testament, Acts chapter 4. Lord, thank you so much again, and we pray you bless us and encourage us today. And Lord, I pray you challenge us. To lay down our life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to read a few stats to you. In the U.S. military, here in the U.S. and around the world, there's approximately 1.474,422 members of the military. In San Diego, 200,000. Since 9/11, 56,000 have been injured in combat. The average deployment is 6 to 12 months away from home. How many of you know someone whose spouse, family member left for months at a time their family? Can you imagine leaving your family for 6 to 12 months with little kids? Since 9/11, 15,833 have died. 2010, 1,483 have died. 25% of the homeless here in San Diego are military veterans. 25%, one in four. Every single one of those people, I would imagine, when they went into the military, their goal was to serve and be discharged with honor. Everyone say honor. I would imagine everybody in the military, you guys will serve and be discharged with honor. As we continue our series called The Jesus Dilemma, everyone say Jesus Dilemma. The disciples had a dilemma with them in their life. When they first met Jesus, they were fishermen for the most part. Some were not fishermen, tax collectors, doctors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they were walking with Jesus, but at some point, they had to make a decision. We're going to follow him and serve him with honor. They had their ups and downs, we'll talk about here in a minute. But then they realized that if they were going to do that, they were going to have to suffer. When you go into the military, when you become a police officer, a fireman, you realize you are putting yourself in harm's way. As believers, we may not think that. We may think, and many people think, well, I'm going to become a Christian because I want to be blessed. And God says, no, it's the other way around. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, take communion. Communion is a reminder that you're going to die. And so as we talk about Jesus' dilemma, we're going to talk about his disciples, and we're going to look at how they suffered for him and how they put themselves in harm's way and how they dealt with it. Because as you walk with God, there's a difference between walking with God casually and walking with God in war. I went to a prison, Chino State Prison, right here up in Chino, about 2 hours from here. And I was going to take a guy who used to play with me at the Chargers. His name was Dennis McKnight. Dennis McKnight was an offensive lineman. His nickname was Conan. He looked like Conan the Barbarian. You know, he was 6'4", 280 pounds, long hair, you know, biker-looking dude. And it took me 3 hours to convince Dennis to go to the prison, because he was scared of going to prison. Prison's a scary place. I said, Dennis, man, you're going to be the ugliest guy in there. You're going to be the biggest guy in there. Ain't nobody going to bother you. I said, you're going to love it. Oh, no. So 3 hours it took him. So he finally goes in. We go into prison. And if you've ever been in a prison, you have to go through all these doors of security. You know, you do all the security. You go through barbed wire fences. And it's pretty intimidating going in. And then you're in their world. So we go into prison. We go into chapel. And we drove through the prison first in a van. And we're driving through, and it was really awkward because we're in the van. It's like 10 of us looking out at the inmates, and they're looking at us. You know, it's like being in a zoo. You know, you don't get out of the van. You're looking at the animals. It felt that awkward. And believe me, I have ultimate respect for inmates, but it just felt awkward. Like let's get out and talk to people so we're not looking like we're scared. So I'm in the van going, let's stop the van and get out. And he's sitting next to me with his big, gigantic 44-inch arms, and he just elbows me in the side and says, don't get out of the van, man. We ain't getting out. So we finally get to the chapel, and we get out. We go into chapel, and we're sitting in the chapel, and he meets a guy just like him. He meets a guy just like him, and he realizes it wasn't what he thought. And so now it's time to leave, and he has to leave this guy who's just like him that he developed a relationship with. And he's walking. He's the last one. Now we have to walk from the chapel through the yard, no van anymore, to the gate, to a door. And he's walking with this guy like they're strolling on a date or something. He's the last one to get out of prison. And so we said, let's play a joke on Dennis. Let's close the door. So he's got his back to the door, and it's a big metal, bam, door. And he's in the yard, and we've already gone through the door, and he doesn't want to leave the guy. So we close the door, boom. And he turns around, and his face is like, get me out of here. And it's one thing to walk with the guy. It's another thing to stay in there. It's one thing to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church, but it's a whole other thing to get in the battle. The disciples, they walk with Jesus. They saw him do all the stuff. The Bible says they left all to follow him. They were in boats with him. They saw him heal. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him do this. But little did they know there was a fight coming. Little did they know there was pain coming. And that's what separates the boys from the men. And I'm going to challenge all of you. I'm going to challenge all of you. Let me say this. I hope the message challenges all of you in your walk with Jesus Christ. That one, if you haven't started your walk, you know what you're getting into. By the way, you'd be better off to face trials and tribulations with Christ than to face him without him. So you want him in your life. And he's never going to let a trial come upon you that's bigger than he can handle through you. That's the good news. When you're on your own, you're on your own. And we talked last week, 377 people kill themselves in San Diego a year. That's more than one a day. People kill themselves. One of the main reasons people kill themselves is they lose hope. Pain can't go away. I can't take it anymore. Christ can get you over anything. So you need him. And so let's read. We're going to look at three very simple points. And let me say this as a general principle. If you read the book of Acts and you read the New Testament, you will see all the disciples went through pain. And so people think, well, I'm a Christian and God's going to protect me. I don't know where you get that from. We're going to be raptured out. We're not going to go through the tribulation. Christians are already in the tribulation today. It's happening today. Now, are we going to be raptured out? It doesn't matter. Just be ready for whatever happens. The end of the world was supposed to happen last week. Well, it didn't happen. Maybe it'll be next week. Maybe it'll be 5 years. Maybe it'll be 100 years. We don't know. Look at number one in your notes. Number one, it says they were threatened not to preach, yet they preached anyway. They were threatened not to preach, yet they preached anyway. I wonder how many of you have ever been threatened not to share your faith. It may be because no one knows you're a Christian. No one's ever told you stop talking about Jesus because you don't talk about Jesus. Don't bring your Bible to work. Well, maybe you've never been told that because you don't bring your Bible to work. When would you read it? During your lunchtime. Just as a witness. Hey, I'm just reading my Bible, eating my lunch. Why not? Do it. See what will happen. Offer one of your friends at work who's going through a hard time within the rules of your job. Can I pray for you? Can I share a verse with you? Can I invite you to church? Why not? I spoke at an event Tuesday with about 80 judges and about several hundred other lawyers, and I was surrounded by judges. It's like, man, there's a lot of power in this room. And I got to pray before and after the event, and I was saying, you know, I want to pray for y'all because I want to pray that the judge of the judges give you wisdom. There's someone even higher than the judges. But look at these guys. The context of this particular point is that Peter and John had healed a guy. He was 40 years old, and he was lame, and he was crippled, and he healed this guy. And this is in chapter 3. You can read it on your own. He healed the guy. And once the guy got healed, a crowd gathered around. And you know what they did? They started preaching the gospel. Now, remember, this is the Peter who denied Jesus. These are the disciples that when Christ was crucified, they ran and hid and didn't come to the tomb the third day to see if he rose from the dead because they were scared. Mary went to the tomb. The women went and they found that Jesus was rose. And they said, hey, he rose just as he said. So these guys were scared. And all of a sudden, they see Jesus and they become these bold preachers. They went from being fishermen, they went from being somewhat cowards, battling, arguing over, I want to be first in the kingdom, to being bold preachers. So they heal this guy. He's walking around. Everyone says, what happened? What happened? And then Peter stands up and says, man, I got a crowd. Let me tell you what happened. The Jesus of Nazareth, who y'all crucified, faith in him healed this dude, not us. Anyway, they arrest them. Look at, matter of fact, look at chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, verse 1. It says, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain, and the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. Verse 2, chapter 4, Acts. Being greatly disturbed, they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. So you have to understand, these guys were preaching in hostile environments where they would preach and get arrested. Preach, get beat, get arrested. Preach, get arrested, and people would get saved by the thousands. By the way, and the Bible counts them. You know, it'll take account. But look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. It says, this is hilarious to me. It says, when they saw the boldness of Peter, everyone say boldness. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated and untrained. That's another way of saying they realized they were dumb. I perceive that you're uneducated. Can you imagine someone said that to you? You didn't go to school, did you? You probably didn't graduate. I'm just guessing. You probably didn't graduate, huh? And by the way, you have no skills either. It's messed up. But look what it says. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated and untrained, they marveled and they said, they have been with Jesus. There's something even more valuable than an education and training. It's to be with Jesus. I am not at all saying don't go to school. I am not at all saying don't get trained. But what I am saying is don't rely on that. There's something more powerful being with Jesus. Well, you know, I got more education than him. How come he got the raise? Jesus. I got more experience than him. How come he got the promotion? Jesus. I'm better looking at him. How come he got the girl? Jesus. All the ladies say, hey, you know your man gets you because of Jesus. I don't know. I know he's not what I like, but something about him. I just drawn to Jesus. Verse 18, and when they commanded them to go out aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them. It is evident to all in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Say, we cannot deny it. You can't deny a miracle. How many of y'all, God has changed your life? Okay, so here's my challenge to you. No one can deny it. Can I get amen? Amen. Then tell people about it. Tell people about it. I spoke at the San Diego Yacht Club this week. Told my testimony. I could tell that story in my sleep, literally. I used to play football. I did cocaine. And you should be able to tell it like this. Boom. I was blind, now I see. If God really changed your life, tell me how. It's the most powerful thing you have. Oh, I go to the Rock. Okay, I get that, but what about you? I got a small group. Okay, I get that, but what did God do in your life? Hey, you need Jesus. Okay, that's fine, but what did God do in your life? Boom, tell it. And look what it says. Verse 17. But so that it spreads, so that the gospel spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they not speak in this man's name. So they commanded them not to speak at all to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. What do you think we're going to do? You think we're going to listen to you? Turn to chapter 5. Turn to chapter 5. Look at verse 28. It says, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine or the gospel and intend to bring this man's blood on us. And Peter said, and the other apostles said, we ought to obey God rather than man. You and I, if you live the gospel, you will be opposed. Why? Because the devil does not want you talking about Jesus. Now, you may say, man, I know no one's ever said this to me. No one's ever threatened me. And by the way, you may not get threatened straight up, I'm going to hurt you threatened, but you will get threatened in this way. People will talk behind your back. People will criticize you. People will suggest stuff to you like, you know, people think you're a Jesus freak. And you should say, I am. You mean they just now realizing that? I wonder how many of your friends and family don't even know you go to church, don't even know you believe in Christ. And when you tell them, they go, you a Christian? Wow, I would have never known. And then you go, yeah, I am. You should be like, man, I'm ashamed. The guy who discipled me, when I saw him, the first time I saw him from behind. I was sitting in a hotel, it used to be the Hanalei Hotel, and he walked, and he was at the front desk, and I was sitting there waiting for somebody, and I saw him from behind. And God said to me, that guy is going to have an impact in your life. I didn't even see his face. He just walked in. There was something about him in the spiritual realm that God said, that guy is going to have an impact in your life. Later come to find out he was a Christian. Later come to find out, I went and asked him to disciple me. I said, Sherman, will you disciple me? Someone told me I need to be discipled. Will you do that? And he was 6'4". He still is 6'4". He was 225 pounds, had 18-inch arms, just chiseled like 3% body fat. And he looked, I said, will you disciple me? He says, brother, I'll pray about it. Now, to me, that meant I'm going to think of it. That's a Christian way of saying I'm going to think about it, and I may say no. He had a disciple in me. But there was something there. I wonder if people realize that you know the God of the universe. Or are you CIA? Christian in something. You're incognito. You don't want anyone to see you. Look at number 2 in your notes. Be careful if you repeat that. You may, only certain people can say that. Turn to chapter 16. Turn to chapter 16. Just say I said it. Chapter 16. Chapter 16. Paul and Silas were walking down the street. And this woman who had a demon of divination, she would tell the future. If you ever go to a tarot card reader, you read your horoscope, all that's from Satan. Why are you going to scope into the horror of your life? Stars don't tell your future. They're just gases in the sky and fire. This lady had a spirit of divination, and she was pestering Paul and just pester him. So Paul said he got tired of her, and he says, in the name of Jesus, I command you, spirit, come out of her. That's a bad dude. And the spirit came out of her, and the guys who were making money off her business because of the demon in her, they accused Paul and Silas of false doctrine, and they got them arrested. And look what happened while they were in jail. It says in verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. I want you to listen. They get beat because they cast out a demon, because they preached the gospel. They got beat and whipped, and they're in prison, chained in the back of the prison, and they're singing hymns. Look at number 2 in your notes. Beaten and jailed, the disciples praise God. I wonder how many of you praise God the last time, well, one, you haven't gotten beaten and you haven't gotten in prison for your faith. So it kind of doesn't apply. In other words, we got it easy. But I wonder how many of you ever got criticized for your faith or doing something good, and instead of whining and complaining, oh, God, why are they picking on me? Oh, God, why are they doing this to me? You said, God, I thank you that I'm worthy. I thank you. And I'm going to sing a song. How many of you have had something bad happen to you, and while it was happening, you were getting discouraged, you were getting discouraged, you were getting discouraged, and you thought it was unfair, and then all of a sudden, I call it a release of peace. You all of a sudden feel peace, like, this is okay. Matter of fact, God is going to do something good in my life. So here these guys got arrested and beat because they cast out a demon and they had the reputation of preaching the gospel, turning the world upside down. They're in prison, and instead of complaining to God, they're singing to God. And you know what one of the things they're singing? Lord, thank you that we are worthy to be punished for your name. If someone is criticizing you because you're Christian, praise God that they know you're a Christian. Praise God that they know you're faithful. Praise God that you're worth the attention. You know, someone said, the demon's messing with me. The devil's messing with me. I said, you're not important enough for the devil to be messing with you. He'll send one of his funky demons to you. The devil's dealing with presidents and emperors and prime ministers. He's at a big level. You're not worth his time. Matter of fact, there was a story about the devil. He was on the curb crying. And Jesus came over and said, what is your problem? He says, you're ruining the world. You're causing all this problem that I was having. And he says, Christians are always blaming me for stuff I didn't get a chance to do. We always want to blame the devil. You know, sometimes it's just our own ignorance. But these guys, and look what it says. Look at verse 26. It says, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and every man's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he failed at his job. Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm. We are all here." They could have escaped. And by the way, God was delivering them. And Peter was in prison before the angel came and unlocked the chains, unlocked the prison door and the cell, and then the prison door made the guard go to sleep. And the angel says, "Go outside and preach." Okay, so look what it says in verse 29. He called for a light, ran in, and fell down. This is the trembling before Paul and Silas. The prison guard called for a light. He ran down and fell before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Here's this prison guard. He's guarding them. He hears them, and they're singing to this God. And the prison guard is saying, how is it they're singing to a God that just got them arrested? How is it they're singing to a God that just got them beat? And they realize that they knew how to suffer. And they realized that faith in God was way beyond what man could do to them. And that when man attacks you, when man ridicules you, your faith in God should become stronger because God's the one who's going to get you through. And here they are praising God. And this guy's like, man, whatever they believe in something so strong that can get them, that they can sing while they're in prison. I want to know that God. And the guy goes in and he falls down on the feet and says, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your family. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all were in his house. And he took them aside that same hour of the night, washed their stripes or their scars. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. He rejoiced having believed in God with all his household. Are you suffering like that, or are you spending your time avoiding suffering? Turn to chapter 7. Stephen was the first recorded martyr in the Bible. Again, he got killed because he was preaching the gospel. And it says in verse 54, after he preached the gospel, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. And being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand, and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. They cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran to him in one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Now, by the way, when you got stoned, you got thrown down, and they could throw as big a rock as they could pick up. It wasn't like you would take these little pebbles and just throw at you and chase you down the street. As big a rock as you can get, you could stone somebody until they were dead or you thought they were dead. And this guy is saying, I see Jesus Christ. And it says, Verse 37, they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man called Saul. Everyone say Saul. By the way, that Saul is the apostle Paul before he was saved. They stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with their sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Here he is getting stoned. And instead of saying, God, why are you letting this happen to me? You know what he said? Lord, don't charge us against them. And Lord, I'm coming home. Here's my challenge to you. As you walk with Jesus, as my friend was walking into prison with that inmate, and as you walk with Jesus, you have to ask yourself, am I on a casual stroll that when it gets hard, I'm going to run? Or am I going to be like the disciples? And when people tell me not to preach or share my faith, I'm going to preach and share my faith. People tell me not to read my Bible, I'm going to read my Bible. Am I going to be someone, if I am ridiculed, thank God you will probably never get beat, you will probably never get arrested, you will probably never get martyred, but you can get criticized, you can lose your job, and you can be discriminated against because you're a Christian and because you believe in what the Bible says and you will not back down and try to be politically correct. Are you going to do that? Or are you going to be the kind of Christian that culture would like to make you into, one that just goes to your little church and minds your own business and don't share it with anybody else? Jesus tells us to preach the gospel to all creatures. Tells us to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Tells us to share with people, I was blind, now I see. And we have soldiers all over this world laying their life down on the line for this country. And yet there's a higher citizenship that we all have in heaven. And God is looking for soldiers who will lay their life down for him. Let us not be lulled to sleep that a Christian is someone who just goes to church on Sunday and then does his own thing during the week. I want you to turn to the back of your lesson plan. I want to read something to you. And by the way, after I read this, I'm going to challenge you today. Because there are some of you here today, your Christian life is what I would say, in God's words, boring. Here's what I mean by boring. Just look up here for 1 second before you start reading that list. Boring in the sense that there's no stepping out in faith. It's very safe. It's very non-averse. No conflict. No risk. Because you're just keeping it right here. God, I'm just staying right here in this bubble. Don't challenge me. And you may have what you have call a manageable amount of drama, or you may have a whole lot of drama, but you're doing it your way. You don't want to step out. And God is saying, I can't work with that. And when I read this list to you, I want you to see the extreme that all his disciples went through. And when Jesus says, I want you to do this in remembrance of me, when you think of me, I want you to think of death. I want you to understand that if you hold your life and save your life, you lose your life. But if you give your life away to Christ completely, you gain your life. And what I mean by that is that there is a life, a level of miraculous living that you will never attain unless you give your natural life away. And what that means is that, Lord, I'm just going to trust you to do whatever you want with me, whatever that means. And I'm going to receive the life you have for me. And for all of you who walk with God now, if you remember what your life was before when you were in control and what it is now, a guy shared with me last week, he's a police officer. He said, my job was a mess. I was about to divorce my wife. My family was a mess. I gave my life to Christ. Now my family's rock solid. I've been promoted 2 times. I'm not getting a divorce. And my daughter just got a scholarship to Ivy League school. I mean, God, Jesus. So I want to read this to you, and I want you to be challenged that this is not just for first century Christians. Matthew was killed by a sword wound. Mark died. He was dragged by horses through the streets. Luke was hung. John was boiled in a huge basin of boiling oil. Unfortunately, this is the John that wrote the book of Revelation. They put him in boiling oil. You know how hot oil has to be to boil? And he lived. He must have been toe up. But he lived. And then they put him, exiled him to an island of Patmos. Peter was crucified upside down. He did not want to be crucified up right side up like Jesus, so they turned him upside down. James the just was thrown over the feet of the pinnacle of the temple and killed. James the greater was beheaded. Bartholomew was flayed with a whip. Andrew, had his, after being whipped, was tied to a cross and hung there and just died over time. Thomas was stabbed with a spear. Jude was killed with arrows. Matthias was stoned and beheaded. Barnabas was stoned to death. Paul was tortured and beheaded. All these disciples you read about, they weren't just Jewish guys sitting around a room writing on a book. They died for their faith. Here's my challenge to you. Your dilemma walking with Jesus is that he will constantly call you to a place of darkness and unknown and fear. And what I mean by that, when you walk by faith, is he's going to challenge you to do stuff that's going to be beyond you. And you're going to have to say, Lord, I trust you. And you have a decision to make. Lord, am I going to do it, or am I going to retreat back to where it's safe? Fortunately, we probably will never die for our faith, get beat for our faith, arrested, maybe. But what are you willing to do? And how far are you willing to go? I want to challenge you this week. Take your Bible to work. Put it on your desk. Read your Bible at your break, not when you're supposed to be doing your work, by the way. Go pray for one of your fellow employees. There's some of you have employees that are going through drama. Some of you have supervisors that are going through drama. Offer to pray for them. Offer to invite them to church. Put yourself out there and see what happens. And when you get ridiculed, if you do, if you get criticized, if you do, watch your reaction. I have a bunch of tea bags at my house. Well, I will tell you that story another time. But I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes real quick, and I want you to listen very carefully. I want you to listen very carefully. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you that the disciples were examples to us. Of men who walk with you, they said they believed you, they said they acknowledged you as Christ, but they really didn't prove it until they suffered for the faith. Lord, I pray we as believers would have faith like that, that we wouldn't be believers who only claim Christ in the church building, who only claim Christ when we're with other believers, when it's comfortable, when it's safe, but that we would proclaim Christ all the time, even when we're threatened, even when it's uncomfortable. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. Thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, once again, we pray for our soldiers all over the world, members of the armed forces. May they be an example to us. May they remind us, one, we're in a spiritual battle. May they remind us what it takes to fight a battle. May they remind us of the sacrifice necessary to win a war. May we apply those principles to our spiritual life. Thank you for the example. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are a member of the military, there is a reception with the Admiral right in the chapel, which is right in the lobby, in the middle of the lobby. We'd love to see you after service. God bless y'all. See you next week. God bless you.